I have a riddle for you all today, which goes like this. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. And you'll probably only be able to solve this one if you've read the book of Judges in the Bible, specifically the part that tells the story of the Hebrew hero Samson. The first people to hear it did not have the benefit of having read the book of Judges. This story is one of my favorites. I love it because of its symbolic resonance, but even more so because of its memorable hero. There's something archaic and folktale-like about it, which is somewhat odd in a grouping of biblical books usually called the historical books. Samson reminds me of a hero in a Western movie. In a violent place, in a violent time, he is uniquely skilled at violence, even creative with it. Selfish, capricious, stubborn, and vengeful. He's only a hero because he's fighting on behalf of the good guys, for now. Not that he ever switches sides, I'm just saying. He has the character of a gunslinger who only happens to be on the right side of the law. Samson was born to aging and childless parents who prayed to the Lord to bring them a child. Their prayers were answered, but they got way more than they bargained for. An angel appeared to them and instructed them that, among other things, his hair was not to be cut. This practice came from a group called the Nazarites, who took such vows for the sake of holiness. This, by the way, is continued in our time by the Rastafarians, which is why they wear dreadlocks. Some Rastafari even claim that Samson sported dreadlocks. Scripture states that he had 7 locks of hair, 7 being a magical number, as you doubtless know. At any rate, this long hair would be the secret source of Samson's strength. Now, his parents surely just wanted him to be a good boy and marry a nice Hebrew girl, but this was not in the cards. The willful young man went to roving and fell in love with a Philistine woman. On his way to ask for her hand in marriage, he was attacked by a lion, which he proceeded to rip to shreds with his bare hands. When he later returned to her country for the wedding, he saw that some bees had taken up the lion's rotting carcass as their new home, which was now filled with honey. At the wedding feast, in the company of Philistines, Samson proposed the riddle I quoted earlier. The deal was that if anyone solved it within 7 days, he would provide them with 30 pieces of fine linen to wear. If not, they had to give him 30 pieces of fine linen, which made the Philistines furious. Probably rightly so, because it was really more of a trick than a riddle. The answer referred to the earlier incident with the lion and the bees, but there was not a single witness to that event. So the Philistines found a backdoor solution in the form of Samson's wife, whom they threatened to burn, along with her father and his household, if she didn't spill the beans. So on the 7th day, they approached Samson with the answer. What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? This is the answer, and Samson knows exactly how they obtained it. If you had not plowed with my heifer, he tells them, you would not have solved my riddle. But a deal is a deal. So Samson fulfills his end of the bargain by going off to another town named Ashkelon and killing 30 Philistines there, taking the garments off their corpses to deliver to the first Philistines. See, now tell me this isn't a scene in a Western movie. I can just picture the bloodstains and bullet holes on the clothes as Samson throws them at the Philistine's feet. The story then continues in an escalating cycle of excessive and fairly weird violence, but we should probably stop here, do a little symbolic analysis. The whole tale seems like a great example of what Hegel called the cunning of reason, where particular purposes of the individual are made to serve the substantial will of the world spirit. Everyone involved, the hero, his parents, the Philistine enemy, serves a historical purpose, but not on purpose. Of course, I chose to look at this story because of one small but significant detail, the bees. There's a lot going on here. You probably already noticed the recurrence of certain significant numbers, like 7 and 30, respectively the number of days in the week and month, roughly speaking. The Samson tale has often been compared to myths of the Greek hero Heracles, or Hercules. They're both strong men, of course, and the incident with the lion reminds us that Hercules' first labor of the famous 12 was fighting a lion in Nemea. There's definitely not a one-to-one correspondence between the two stories, but here's another connection. Hercules is widely acknowledged to be what is called a solar hero, whose story represents the annual journey of the sun through the signs of the zodiac. Samson's name in Hebrew is pronounced Shimshon, and literally means of the sun. Allow me to quote the Masonic scholar Manly P. Hall from the Secret Teachings of All Ages on the solar hero. Quote, "The sun, as he pursued his way among these living creatures of the zodiac, was said in allegorical language either to assume the nature of or to triumph over the sign that he entered. The sun thus became a bull in Taurus and was worshipped as such by the Egyptians under the name of Apis and by the Assyrians as Bel, Baal, or bull. In Leo, the sun became a lion slayer, Hercules, and an archer in Sagittarius. The Egyptian priests in many of their ceremonies wore the skins of lions, which were the symbols of the solar orb, owing to the fact that the sun is exalted, dignified, and most fortunately placed in the constellation of Leo, which he rules and which was at one time the keystone of the celestial arch. Again, Hercules is the solar deity, for as this mighty hunter performed his 12 labors, so the sun, in traversing the 12 houses of the zodiacal band, performs during his pilgrimage 12 essential and benevolent labors for the human race and for nature in general. Samson, the Hebrew hero, as his name implies, is also a solar deity. His fight with the Nubian lion, his battles with the Philistines, who represent the powers of darkness, and his memorable feat of carrying off the gates of Gaza, all refer to aspects of solar activity." End quote. Now, hopefully you recall the previous Bees episode, in which we explored in great detail, mostly by Rudolf Steiner, the relationship between bees and the sun. But there's a possibility that the reason bees are present in this story is because of a confusion with the Egyptian bull deity Apis and the Latin name of the bee, Apis. Another connection between bee and bull occurs in what is called begonia, the curious belief found throughout the ancient Near East and Mediterranean that the maggots which fed from the carcass of a dead animal, such as a cow or ox or a lion, would turn into bees. Many ancient writers described the process of birthing new bees by suffocating and then either burying a bull or keeping it in a sequestered room. Some believed that dead bees could be resurrected if their ashes were mixed with sweet wine and exposed to sunlight. The idea that biological life could arise out of dead matter may have originated in Egypt, where many creatures appear suddenly right out of the mud of the Nile during springtime. Recall that Osiris is Egypt's dying and resurrecting god. The Ptolemaic period in Egypt saw the rise of a cult around the syncretic god Serapis, which combined Osiris with the bull god Apis. I don't know if begonia or bees were involved in his rituals, but the imagery fits. The beehive is a Masonic symbol for industry. But in his Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, Albert Mackey also gives an additional meaning.
For the rest of this episode, please visit patreon.com/symbolpod. You can get benefits like early access to episodes, exclusive bonus episodes, reading lists for the show, and other bonus content for as little as $3 a month. The Forest of Symbols will continue to explore the deepest symbolic roots of art, literature, philosophy, religion, science, and history, as well as interviews with some of the most interesting artists and thinkers of our time. But we need help from you to make this show the best it can be. Go to patreon.com/symbolpod and support the show today.